Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
It's been a parade of Padres legends here today on Padres Social Hour. Our thanks to Benito Santiago and Gary Templeton as they are inducted into the Hall of Fame, the Padres Hall of Fame, that is. And we are now joined by an inaugural member of the Padres Hall of Fame and one of the true, the first true superstars of the Padres, Nate Colbert. Welcome. How are you today, Nate?
I'm doing great. I really appreciate the Padres inviting me down for this. I remember when Benito was a 19-year-old catching in Miami. And, of course, I've always admired Gary Templeton. So it's an honor to be here for them today.
Well, we're so excited to have you back in San Diego.
Right. Now, it's especially, Nate, good to see you here for somebody who saw the early Padres, who saw you play. And people don't realize it. Nate is still the all-time home run leader with the Padres. And he hit home runs at then San Diego Stadium, where that there was no short fence.
Right.
It was 420 to center, and the wall was 17 feet high, and it was like 360 down the line. And I've always wondered, twice, 38 home runs. How many home runs do you hit if that ballpark's really a smaller ballpark?
Well, if you guys remember Whitey Wiedemann, he was a coach. He used to count balls that you hit the wall or that will count on the warning track. And in 1970, when I hit 38, he said I hit the wall or the warning track in right center and left center an additional 23 times.
Right.
Wow.
So that would have been an outstanding
61. Year. That gets you to 61.
I mean, and that's an important number
right.
at that time. I mean, that was.
It was.
That would have broken the record of that.
Right.
I mean, or tied the record, 61.
But, you know, I think one of the things that helped the ballpark, you know, bringing in the fences was good, but they kind of closed it in around in center field.
Right.
And that wind that used to just kind of drift the balls towards center, right center, and left center, it knocked it down, and balls started getting out of that ballpark. Right.
And they also moved home plate out a couple feet, too,
right,
which people don't remember, is that it used to be back farther, so they shortened the fences by moving home plate a couple feet towards center field.
Well, you know, I look at it this
after
way.
After you were there.
Well, I look at it this way. I had an opportunity to play in a town that I grew up in. And I still call my home San Diego. And I got to play in the major leagues. And even though we weren't very good, it was still the best players in the world. And I really enjoyed my time here.
You were pretty darn good.
Well, thank you for saying that.
And there were some good ball players in those early teams. Cito Gaston, you.
Ollie Brown,
first draft choice in the expansion draft. There weren't a lot of them, but there were some.
Do you realize that in 1970, we hit, I think, 170 home runs or more as a team
right.
in that ballpark? So when you think about that, we did something really special. We had eight guys or more hit 10 home runs or more. But Whitey Wiedemann, like I said, who kept a record, said we lost 38 games that we were leading after seven innings. So that's how close it was. That's why we needed a Trevor Hoffman back then, somebody like that, because we just couldn't finish.
Right.
Talking to Nate Colbert here, Padres Hall of Famer. When you were selected out of the Houston organization in the expansion draft in 1968, what were those first thoughts when you found out that you'd become a Padre?
Well, I stayed up all night. They didn't have Sports Center. And I stayed up all night calling the radio and TV stations, finding out if I had been drafted. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, they said, well, you don't show up on the wire. So I went to bed really upset. You know, there were four expansion teams, you know, Montreal, Seattle, Kansas City, and San Diego. And I prayed for San Diego. So the next morning, about 8 o'clock, Eddie Leishman from the Padres called telling me, I want to welcome you to the San Diego Padres. It was an unbelievable experience.
Nate not only led the team in home runs, he led the team in RBIs the first 5 years, still is the all-time home run leader in this franchise. And it's at 163, and it would have been over 200 if he didn't play in a ballpark. The size of San Diego Stadium at that time would make Petco Park look small.
No, does that surprise you that, you know, I mean, the Padres have had a lot of good players in that time, but you're still number one on the home run list.
My agent, who passed away just recently, called it the curse, He said every time someone got close, they traded him, you know. There was Phil Nevin.
Yep.
And then with Adrian Gonzalez, I thought it was a given, but they traded him away.
He got within two.
Yeah. And then, of course, Dave Winfield was here 8 years, and I thought, sure, he would break that, but for some reason, it's still there.
Could be there for a long time.
Well, it may or may not, but it was a great 6 years that I had here. I have never forgotten the experience, the opportunity that the Padres gave me, and I'm hoping that we can rekindle some of that stuff right now.
Right. It was interesting because when the Padres were born as the first draft pick in the expansion draft, Ollie Brown was sort of the face of the franchise right when it started. And then by the end of the first year, Nate Colbert was the face of the franchise. He was, I mean, you were the you had an amazing first year, and then the 38 home runs in the second year. This was the early leader of the San Diego Padres.
Absolutely, and that's why he's in the Padres Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, that first year, we didn't know what to expect. It was 30 guys, and when we first met, we didn't know each other. I met Cito Gaston at the airport, and we became lifelong friends and roommates. And Ollie Brown and I have been long-time friends, and I thought that of the 30 guys they drafted, Ollie was the best overall player. And I kind of keyed on him because he was a few years older than me. He had played with the Giants.
Right.
And so I kind of looked at his play, and I said, I got to keep up with that.
You know, you talked about curses a little bit earlier. I got to ask you, should Preston Gomez have taken Clay Kirby out of that no-hitter in 1970?
You know, I don't know. We were losing the game.
1-0.
1-0.
Right.
And we had Cito Gaston sitting on the bench, who at the time was hitting 330.
That's true.
And so Preston's whole goal is to win the game. He didn't care about the no-hitter. But, you know, when he pinch hit for Clay Kirby, I had mixed emotion because I wanted Clay to get the no-hitter. But what good is it to have a no-hitter and you lose?
Okay.
And so when Preston did that, he also did the same thing when he at Houston.
Right.
He took a guy out who had a no-hitter going. So there was a precedent set. So his whole goal, Preston was a good manager, I thought.
Right.
It was to win the game.
And he did. You know what? He didn't change his views on the game.
No, he
for
didn't.
That situation.
Yeah. You know, when you throw a no-hitter and you lose, I mean, it's a hollow victory. But he'd rather have him throw an 8-inning no-hitter, and we have our best hitter at that time, have a chance to get us back into the game. We were only down 1-0.
Right.
And so at the time, I had mixed emotions.
No, that's a great story. And if you guys want to hear more stories, Nate's going to be on the post-game social hour today with Kurt Bavacqua and David Wells. Enjoy the ceremonies today. Enjoy the game, Nate. It is really great to have you back here in San
Thank
Diego
you.
With the organization, and hope you enjoy the day.
Oh, I will. Thank you so much.
Very good. Dress in your raddest 80s gear and head to Petco Park tomorrow for Sunday Fun Day. A $25 package includes game ticket, one drink ticket, and a pair of sunglasses. Get tickets today at Padres.com/Sunday Fun Day. More Padres Social Hour right after this.